Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buckets. Mm-hmm. That's the name of my boat. Buckets.
Buckets. Buckets. What we get.
Not the only transfer we got from Florida. Buckets. Keith Stone, too. Remember that.
Everybody who watches his show on a regular basis knows my love of the stretch four.
You know, we all make mistakes. He might have made one going to town.
It's mercy if y'all don't know. It's mercy if y'all don't know. Dribble to the left, cross over to the right. Hurricane to the game, many buckets for the night. Matt with the pick and roll, Melissa with the give and go. This shelly you, hoodie girl, dunk it in the hole. Check the scoreboard, this what we fall for. Peep the gameplay, they want an encore. Yeah, over time for another round. It's buckets after buckets, baby. You out of town. It's buckets. What it is, homie, it's buckets. Woo! We get buckets. Yeah, baby. Buckets. Buckets.
I have no shame.
I know. That's the problem.
You guys are awesome.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Buckets. I'm Matt. He's Vish. She's Melissa. We all got jerseys on. Should we go around and show off the jerseys? Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, Melissa's got the Black History Month one.
With an Adidas hoodie underneath it that
you can see through.
I really got to invest in a white hoodie.
I am rocking the legendary Trolley yellow jersey recently purchased.
And all of it, and all of its Kulito-ness.
Kulito-ness. I'm not buying. That's wrong on several levels. First of all, this jersey is awesome. Second, Kulito-ness. We can't do that.
It was on sale, right? Wasn't it like 90% off?
That's the only reason why he bought it. I heard
that 90% off. That's not the only reason I bought it. That was
you literally said, "Oh, I want to get it, but oh, like I'll buy it if it's on sale."
I said I will buy it when it goes on sale, not
exactly. Because
that was the only reason I bought it. That was the reason I brought it at that time. This purchase is happening. But the season's over, so now it'd be stupid to buy a jersey from the season. Let them.
You want to talk about a better jersey that I didn't necessarily purchase, but ended up getting because the one that I purchased.
Can Matt talk about his jersey first?
Yeah.
Oh, so I was trying to overshadow your jersey.
I got my Miami, here we go, retro look.
Number 11
for Jordan Miller. He actually signed the back. I'm not going to try to show that off after the Lafayette game. Shout out my guy Jordan Miller.
You need a jersey cam.
A jersey cam? No, I think I already upgraded for the webcam. I don't think I need another video camera.
But as I was going to say, so I bought this blank white jersey a couple of months ago, and I got numbers to put on it from the team store across the street from campus. And then I procrastinated a bunch to get the numbers ironed on. And then they were nice enough to let me know that they had a heat press. So I took it back yesterday so then they could put the numbers on it. And Harry, the owner, who's awesome, accidentally put the heat press too high and messed up the jersey. So instead of the white jersey, I have this really awesome, which I actually like better. So I'm grateful for the mess up orange jersey with the number 35 on it, because how awesome is that? And for those of you who have been watching Buckets long enough, you know why I got number 35. But like, this is a
wait, fire. Why did you get 35 again?
Especially after Tasha left. I think it's pretty messed up.
So I will, this jersey will get worn on this pod when my favorite player comes on the show. Hopefully that happens, because Matt got that in the works. So I'm really excited. So hopefully that actually happens. So
I would say past tense had that in the works at this point.
He's still in playoffs. So we'll see. You know, regardless of what happens, A for effort. And I appreciate the, like, even trying to make it happen.
Yeah. But, gotta make it happen.
I mean, this is a really sick jersey.
Job not finished.
right?
Terrence in the chat. It's got some hoops questions. We're definitely going to get through a lot of this as the show goes on. But yes, especially the Charlie jersey, as we all know. So, and the shorts Coach Meyer gave us.
It happened, guys. I know you all were rooting for me to get the practice shorts. It finally happened. Coach Meyer not only hooked me up, but brought Vish a pair too. Hopefully, Coach Cullip can hook Matt up.
Oh, she already is sending a care package. I talked to her the other day.
Okay. All Canes did hook us up with Final Four hats last night. So we got to get Matt's out to him.
I've got a hat and a shirt for Matt, actually.
When I'm there or something.
It out. It's fine.
I meant to get that, but it's in the other room. I was going to show it off.
The hat might not even fit my fat head, so.
It's adjustable.
Oh, it is? Okay, good. Yeah. It's not one of the one-size-fit-all type things.
Shout out to Al Canes for letting us go live from there last night, and then for some merch. Well, and also letting us shop after hours. Me and Vish got some cool stuff.
I'm actually wearing a hat that I purchased there.
There you go.
I mean, come on. I actually showed this off on our Mount Rushmore stuff. I actually did purchase it. All Canes is good about having extra smalls lately. There was a pair of shorts that I wanted to get, but they're a little expensive. So hoping when I get paid, I'm going to go back and buy them.
Which ones were they?
The ones that Viz showed off, the fourth of his things on the Mount Rushmore. The throwback shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Those are cool.
Those were actually the ones I randomly showed off for extra small. So,
and they have pockets, which I mean, basketball shorts with pockets, that's clutch.
Yeah. A lot of the women's shorts do not have pockets.
The shorts you got me have a back pocket too. I mean,
those are legit. Those are
they're so comfortable too, because I was running around for like half the night last night. So
yeah.
I mean, that was a fire fit, those shorts and my Larinaga Meyer hoodie. Whew. Not to like toot my own horn, but you know, it's a good fit.
Yeah, there you go. 10.98 out of 10.
There you go. Good.
Such a violation of Bucket's rules. You should both be suspended.
I invented the rules. What are you talking about?
Matt's the one that does the ratings.
I invented the rating scale. How are you going to tell me my rating scale is incorrect when I invented it?
That's why I texted
you. I run the show. I can do whatever I want. That's why.
No, you can't. Melissa, tell him.
I control the means of production.
Tell him that he can't do whatever he wants.
You can't do whatever you want. I mean, he has
no one studied the Communist Manifesto in college, but that was a hilarious show.
I mean, he can kick us out of the stream again. He's already kicked you out once.
I know.
So rude.
He actually kicked me out of the All Canes one too.
I've never kicked Matt out of a stream.
Fake news. What a surprise.
TFTI.
How did you guys not know what TFTI? Like, that's
hell,
not,
man. We speak English.
A young person thing. That's like
I,
what?
I was not in my usual Buckets environment. So like, it was like I called my. I called Flo Max. Like it was just.
She's a coach who just like got upset. Is making
she got
excuses.
Rattled. It was an away game, and she got rattled.
Post game press conference, just making excuses that don't hold up at all. You know. I was not my normal. I was rattled. No, it's not
but
a Miami accurate.
I'm just gonna point out again how awesome mine and Matt's jerseys are.
You can keep shitting on the Charlie jersey. It is amazing.
The design is great. The yellow, honestly, with your lighting, you can't tell how yellow it is.
It's normal lighting. It does look almost the same shade as yours.
Yeah, the lighting's different. Also, I went back and watched the show from All Canes last night, and the lighting made me look so white.
We turned the lighting off. I know.
Because they had fluorescent light, it looked like I had a bald spot going across the top of my head with the lighting. It made my part look like this wide. This is like, okay.
You should put on a nice hat like I did. You want to have
next time we go live from somewhere that has fluorescent lighting, I'm wearing a hat or putting my hood up.
I even tried to use this because we had the spotlight. We ended up not using it because it was so bright in there. But I tried to even turn the yellow spotlight on that. Some more color. Nothing could depale Melissa, so we just went
with it. Not only that, but the ring light was right where the camera was. And so if you looked into the camera, the ring light was around it. So then you were just like having like, if you look into a light for a long time, you have like the remnants, you know? So I was like, we don't need that. There's enough lighting. the behind the scenes of the bucket setup at All Canes.
I mean, Matt and I had the camera on the ring light in my apartment when we did that one live. It was fine. Other than
you were able to adjust the lighting different though, but like it was.
No, I know. No, but what I'm saying is you don't actually stare at it. It's just there. Like I have a ring light in my face right now.
Oh, it's all right. I have a yellow light next to me. It works.
Does not matter.
What are we talking about first, men's or women's?
Well, we got to talk about men's. It's huge news.
The women's is huge news too.
No, that's the biggest. No, the men's. Are you serious?
The biggest news is that Melissa still cannot pick up on Matt's sarcasm. We're almost at our 1 year.
This is ginormous. This is the biggest news in the history of news.
Not in the group text today. We're gonna overreact to this, right?
Okay. Well, now you can't just say it on here, like.
Yeah, we can. I'm good about revealing contents of our group text.
Yeah, but you kind of ruined the bit he was doing.
I know you ruined the bit.
All right, let's talk about. Number Zero himself has the same first name as our amazing host, Matthew Cleveland. He has returned to the Miami Hurricanes. And despite the sarcasm and shenanigans, all three of us are actually happy that he's returning. Thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player. We've talked about this numerous times on the show. He was asked to play a position that, you know, didn't really suit his talents and whatnot. And I think also too, I think you saw a lot of flashes of, you know, I've seen people say that he was lazy for parts of the year or whatever. I don't know. I disagree with that. I think that he had moments and flashes where he wasn't aggressive enough and he was trying to be a good teammate. He was definitely one of the best slashers on the team, if not the best slasher. We definitely could have used that ability more in a lot of games where we were struggling offensively. I don't think it really would have helped a lot more because, you know, I think that there was a lot of problems with injuries, obviously, and, you know, the way the team was constructed and just the overall team chemistry. But, you know, it's something that I hope that we see this year, and I think he's going to have a successful year next year.
Vish?
Yeah, I mean, nothing would have helped last year. We weren't even competitive by the end of the season. Those were all blowouts. But, it was expected. So, I mean, if he announced for whatever reason he was leaving, it would have been pretty shocking. But still a necessary step in terms of building the roster. He's going to start at small forward. Without him, we basically don't have a starting small forward. So,
Any of you have any speculation on why it took him a bit to announce? Like Nigel announced pretty quickly he was coming back.
I don't even think it was on his mind. I think he was always coming back. It's just he was like, you know what I mean? Like he didn't see it as like, oh, I have to say this until
his announcement was just the Michael Jordan, I'm back. There was no like,
yeah.
He was probably getting people.
It was kind of like, well, what do you think I was going to do? Like,
Yeah.
And we actually talked about this, like, not all 12 players on a roster or whatever are going to say, I'm coming back next year at the end of the season. The assumption
wait for the Paul Jobe announcement.
Well, I mean, that one would be surprising if he left, and also one that I would not care about. I don't know why we expect every single player on the roster to announce they're coming back when they're like an underclassman that's obviously coming back. But I guess maybe some people were speculating. I don't know. We all assumed he was back, but he literally
we kind of talked that way. Sucks. He can be nasty in the mid-range, but he would drive into the paint to take a shot contested by three people. A few people on our team did that last season.
Yeah.
Let's just say last season was a disaster. I tweeted out my five like things about why I was happy he was coming back. What I wanted him to work on as like for next season. First of all, moving him back to the three, to the small forward. Developing more confidence. Matt said it a billion times that it seemed like he deferred a lot and didn't try to create his own shot. Ups his mid-range game because I said it towards the beginning of the season last year that I thought his mid-range game was absolute fire. Ups his defense even more and then silences his haters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that his haters are – I mean, as much basketball related or as much as season went in the shitter. Let's blame the guy that came from FSU.
I mean, you're not going to get his type of talent from the portal.
Well, not right now. No.
Not right now.
not with what's available at this point. Not that position, at least. The other thing is just, again, I don't even know that it's fair to say he took too many contested shots. His game needs to be in the paint, and you're not just going to be wide open there. I would say his worst moment was the back-to-back air balls against Boston College. About 5 feet away with the game on the line there.
Some space awareness. There was quite a few games where he stepped on the end line, like in the corner. And I was like, but you know, it happens.
So the other thing though, I'd say he's probably one of the few players and probably to a fault that did not come into this year thinking about how am I going to improve my personal draft stock and focus on that versus being a good team player. Cause we had a lot of selfish, I'm going to run offensive numbers players on this team. And he wasn't one of those. He and Nigel kind of still tried to play within the scale of the offense. I feel like everyone else, and some of them did successfully run numbers, were more focused on making sure they stuffed the stat line and got their shots up, not really play any defense. And I don't think he was guilty of that at all.
It wasn't every game. It happened a few times, and yes, it's frustrating, but he wasn't the only one with bad turnovers.
Nigel Pack did that all the time too last season.
Yeah. And we talked about this on Twitter. Him and Wuga averaged the exact same amount of turnovers per game. So
Wuga had a higher turnover rate too.
And Cleveland shot better from the field.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't, at least I personally didn't really want Wuga back. I mean, we actually did this because this took so long for these dominoes to fall, even though they fell exactly how we all kind of knew they were going to fall for the last month. But, you know, we did rank our kind of, because there was three options, right, to play small forward. It was Matthew, who we expected back, Wuga, who we expected gone, and Keyshawn, who expected to go to the draft. All three of those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any one of us said out of the three, if we could pick one, it would be Wuga.
We wanted Keyshawn for the potential, but
I'm pretty sure I said Cleveland.
I know, like, but that's what I'm saying.
Because
like,
I think Keyshawn's a dumbass on the court.
Keyshawn for the potential, but as far as consistency or just experience, we said Cleveland. I think the three of us all kind of were like, "Nah, Wuga's last." And it's not to put down Wuga. I hope he finds a home somewhere where he's happy. Because to me, it just didn't seem like he wanted to be here. Appreciative.
I don't actually blame him. And obviously, we talked about like Keyshawn would be an idiot to not go pro, given his, given the weakness of this draft and his, like, he's much more likely to be drafted lower.
Keyshawn's measurables. It's the potential in
Keyshawn. Yeah, but even if he has a really good year here, he's still, just because the draft will be so much stronger. Mm-hmm. He'll be, you know, he's just much more likely to get drafted higher this year. Clearly, I mean, we don't have any inside information, but clearly something
happened.
You know, there was friction between Wuga and Coach O for sure. I mean, that some of the substitution patterns were pretty outlandish, and that doesn't happen out of nowhere. So I think there was probably a little bit of friction there. I do know there was some frustration, you know, around the injuries up probably on both parts.
There was an interview with Coach L that mentioned he was discussing Wuga's injury a little bit, and it seemed like a very uncomfortable conversation. Like there was more to the story.
Well, I mean, I think it's multi-dimensional, which, because people are complicated, right? And on the one hand, you know, you want to say, if you can get on the court, go out there and play. Is that in the best interest of the player, or is that in the best interest of the program as well? Would it be better for them to sit out? And the coach is always going to, you know, want the kid to play if they're medically cleared. The player might have a different opinion, you know, worrying about re-injuring it. And also, you know, you take a few games off and get healthier. Maybe that helps. But we, we certainly didn't need to shove him back in the Stonehill game, which is when he got injured worse and never kind of came back from that. So there's a lot that kind of went wrong, and I think that drove a lot of our thinking that there was no way he was coming back, and this week just confirmed it.
I'll just say this: any player that wants to be here and Coach All wants them here, I'm a fan. Everyone who's been through the program and has left, I wish you well. But if we run into you guys at some point, I'm gonna be rooting against you.
So. I'm gonna be honest. I don't. All right, I know this isn't the right thing to say or whatever. I honestly don't care if they do well. I don't want them to get injured or anything horrific to happen to them. Like, I'm not inhuman, but do I care if Nwoko plays well at Mississippi State or not? No.
Well, I mean, there's levels of my caring.
I'm not always like good luck, wish you the best. I'm like, I don't actually care anymore.
We'll see where everybody ends up. But if Norchad ends up in an ACC school, my heart will be broken. I'm just gonna say, I mean, I've heard the rumors of where he might go, and it's not an ACC school, but there was that Matt, UNC rumor.
Can I just say Matt Cross is not coming back here? There's no way in fucking hell that's just happening.
I'm assuming this was sarcastic.
Okay. I just read that really quick, and I was like, there's no freaking way that's happening.
When someone's searching for their fourth school, I believe, and they got thrown off the original school midseason, they're not coming back.
He visited, I think it was Wisconsin. He visited Wisconsin, and they didn't even offer him. Like, and he just left the visit. Like, I think that was the school it was. It was either Wisconsin or Ohio State. I can't remember. But, yeah, no, that's not happening.
Canes, Cats, Heat, that's what I heard. Yeah.
And who? I, you know what, like I said, I'm not going to sit there and follow him. I honestly don't care if he plays well or not. Like I said, I don't want him to get injured or anything. I don't want anyone to get injured. But like, do I give a crap if Norchad averages a double double in the Big East next year? No. Why would I care?
Yeah.
I feel you. I'm trying to be politically correct.
I'm not. It's
well, nice if anything, too, like we've talked about, like props to Nigel for staying here, too, like through this all. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. Like,
I mean,
they got a lot of shit this season, too.
Why do we have to lowball anybody?
Well, this is the thing, right? So lowball is relative, right? So it's a free market. So if someone else is going to pay him more, you technically lowballed him, I guess, because someone else paid him more, but you don't have to meet that. We already have a starting power forward and a starting center.
Yeah, we kind of already replaced him.
Yeah, because he wouldn't commit. So
yeah, the writing was on.
I don't know, and it doesn't matter. Like he was gonna be. Yeah, I mean, shout out to Gio. Wow,
I heard rumors. I have this is all we talk about speculation, right?
It's the internet. You don't know. I mean,
it was like it was around 1.5 mil. So
I heard six figures, but I mean yours is higher.
Yeah. So I mean, don't know
six figures. Gio
knows something. I don't know. He's in the chat.
Yeah. No. Shout out to Gio. I mean, in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We had replaced him. Likely again. I think lessons learned from last year. We're not waiting around for this crap. And so we had replaced him. And, you know, if he wanted to come back, there was probably a lower value we're looking at in order to bring him back at that point because we have a starting center and we have a starting power forward. So we'd essentially be moving someone to the bench to bring him back, which is fine. But at that point, you know, it's like the third or fourth time the Cowboys drafted an offensive lineman. It's like, I get it was a need, but this guy's getting cut now.
You know, I'm just going to say
you're not going to put 15 alignment on the team.
Yeah, it's kind of what everyone's kind of been whispering under their breath, and we've talked about it before. Norchad is a 6'6", 6'5", center if you measure him without his shoes on. He was really good for us at the five, but he's undersized for the NBA. Is he a likely NBA prospect? Unless his outside shooting game gets a lot better, probably not. So and his
perimeter defense too.
Yeah. So if he's getting offered money to go play at another school, good for him, man. You know, it's he's got the opportunity to make good money in college. So I don't blame him as a fan. It makes me sad, obviously, because I'm a huge fan of his. But listen, college basketball with NIL is free agency now. So if he's getting that opportunity to make that kind of money, I mean, you can't say no. That's a big deal, especially if it's the number Matt said.
Yeah, but if we're gonna treat it as free agency, then we do need to look a little bit deeper there and ask the question. Okay, so when we're now managing a budget, right? It's not a salary cap, but it's a budget. And would you trade the two guys we brought in for Norchad? Straight up, the answer is no.
Well, it might even be more too.
Right, it might be more, but just, you know, we're all dealing with, like, this rumor and all that in terms of the actual dollar values. But we know, you know, Lynn Kidd came in for significantly less than the rumor we've heard about Norchad. Like, would you trade Brandon Johnson and Lynn Kidd for Norchad? The answer is absolutely not. So I think, you know, again, as Kane's Cat's Heat, and again, these numbers are always speculative. But these numbers are always speculative.
Yeah.
But, you know, we spent a lot of money to bring back a crappier version of the Final Four team last year. And we overpaid to keep our own guys. And I think we, as Gio said, it was kind of I think it was a reckoning. Again, one thing great about Coach L in this program is they learned from their mistakes. And that was a huge mistake.
And it was very obvious. It was very obvious he learned, because look how aggressive he was in the portal right from the start.
Right. And not only that, though, I think it did affect the attitude of the players on the team as well. Again, we talked about this earlier, but the unwillingness to play defense, a lot of more forcing of shots, making sure they got their numbers from Norchad as well. I mean, Matt, I saw this in person, like,
the BC game.
Yeah, I mean, Quentin Post was roasting him, and then we actually, I know earlier, you know, Matthew Cleveland's defense was criticized. We actually put him on Quentin Post, and he defended him a lot better because he was trying. So, and Norchad got his double-double and ran his numbers up there and all of that, and there was a lot of that. Not just, I'm not talking about him because he's the last one to leave, kind of, but there was a lot of that across the board. You know, we were making fun of it at the beginning of the year when Keyshawn would shoot every time he touched the ball, right? But that's not good for your – but like, he's a freshman, he'll learn. But the whole team kind of played that way. It wasn't just Keyshawn. I was just like, I'm going to get mine up. And part of that is the
– Can we put up Kane's Cat's Heat's last comment? Mm-hmm. Look at the difference in the player. Nigel, who was actually hurt practicing and still here. Wilga was in pajamas and quit.
So here's what I'll say, though. Obviously, like, I think I was the biggest fan of Nigel even before. He's the only one that was remaining here, even going into last year. But
it's on. Look, it's
I'm
on
not. Wilga definitely was injured.
No,
like,
he was.
I mean, so this whole, like, was actually hurt. Again, we already talked about this a little bit, but the idea that when you're hurt and you're playing, like, that's not an easy answer. It's not, the answer is not always to go out there and play. And so whether or not Wilga could have played in some of these games, he was injured the previous game, though. He got hurt during the game. So the idea that, like, he was healthy a few days later, for sure. I'm sorry. I think,
honestly, the difference is, and you can't blame a player for not playing if they're injured, because it is their future. It's, I think the comparison there is that Nigel kept trying to play even though he was injured. And so it makes Wilga's situation look worse, because Nigel was trying, and then it makes it seem like Wilga wasn't trying. There's a lot more to that story, I think, than what we know. But I plan on buying a Nigel Pack jersey. So.
Yeah, I don't, when we see people get injured in games and then say, why aren't they playing the next game? They're not really hurt. I'm not comfortable with that at all.
Although Matthew Cleveland's injury, they said it was a hip, but the massage, like, still, till this day, I still don't know what that was.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure they treated that correct. I'll defer to your medical expertise, Melissa, but I feel like they should not have had a massage cut out.
I don't. Yeah. And Vish is actually, and I think he said, I think you said this even before Nigel announced he was coming back. You said this a few times that if Nigel were to come back, that third year is kind of going to leave his legacy by being here for that third year. Because we had discussed about how Wong should have his jersey retired, and some people, other people had mentioned Jordan Miller. And whereas Jordan Miller was an amazing player for us for 2 years, that third year, he has a chance to leave his mark on the program.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and actually thought the opposite, the way he kept trying to come back. Because to me, if he didn't want to come back, again, he's similar to Norchad in that he's really not he's not great NBA prospects because of his size. He's obviously an elite shooter, but, you know, everyone in the NBA can shoot nowadays. It's not like that's not a, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that'd be a huge differentiator, right? But Not as much anymore. So the fact that he was trying, because if he was trying to transfer, he would have shut it down and been like, "I'm not going out there on one leg." And he was never healthy, Nigel, after that North Carolina game.
To Sox coverage point about Cleveland missing two games for food poisoning. I don't know how close together those two games were, but I've had food poisoning that's knocked me on my ass for like 3 or 4 days.
Cracker Barrel knocked me out for 5 days.
Yeah,
that was awful.
So I still produce the show. It's not like, oh, I've stopped vomiting. I feel better. You're massively dehydrated. You got to get your system back to like eating regularly again. That shit can knock you out for a few days. And if you're thinking about these athletes who are playing D1 basketball and expending all that energy, it's not just like, okay, I'm done vomiting, I'm good, let me go play a 40-minute basketball game. It does take time. Obviously, we don't know the whole story. Again, we're speculating, but I'm just saying to that point.
Right, and again, and Gio, we touched on this earlier, is absolutely right. He's playing out of position to begin with, but mm-hmm. you know, once you start you miss time, it's hard to get back if you're not feeling 100%. You know, it's not that we always want to say suck it up and play. That's not always the right decision. And again, we're not going to really comment on rumors.
Yeah, I don't know.
But no, that's not always the answer. We saw, which was it, the North Carolina game where Keyshawn fully warmed up and then didn't play?
Yeah. Well, also the game that Cleveland hurt his hip, I don't know what the actual injury was. He tried to come back in the game, if you remember correctly. Notre Dame. He tried to come back into the game and then within 45 seconds had to limp off again. So, I mean, the effort was there. Gio's right. It was unfair to expect Cleveland to be Jordan Miller, and I think a lot of people had those expectations.
And well, didn't the hip thing happen like around the food poisoning thing too?
I think it was before.
So, like,
wasn't it? I think it was before.
Yeah.
I don't know. He played 40 minutes against Syracuse because Norchad was injured and people got in foul trouble. Like I never had an issue with Matthew Cleveland's effort last year.
Yeah.
I think I forget what was it, Flo's show that we went on? I don't even remember what show it was. Someone asked about if we had any disappointments for the season. And I said I was disappointed with Matthew Cleveland's season. Obviously I had expectations, but it wasn't to put him down. It's just the whole season was a disaster. So it's just like I didn't even know what to say. But I'm happy he's back, and I think with him playing the small forward, I think we're going to see a way better player.
Well, I mean, let's be real. We lied to ourselves, right? I mean,
yeah,
we spent the whole offseason lying to ourselves, and we're not going to make that mistake again. But we
Fish was like, "Oh, we're the best team in the ACC."
I'm going to keep going back to this. I'm not the one who voted a second in the preseason poll. The ACC was Duke 1, Miami 2nd. Did a big drop off. I think North Carolina was 3rd. That was not me doing that.
With the land of NIL and the portal, you can't base anything off the season before anymore. It's impossible.
I don't think people were doing that. I think on paper, if you look at, you know, Matthew Cleveland for FSU 2 years ago was one of the better players in the ACC. You've added him. You know, you've got the rest of the starting. You obviously lost Jordan Miller and Isaiah Wong, but all things considered, you know, with the amount of turnover on rosters, like we lost less than UConn did off of their championship team, and they reloaded and won the championship again, and we collapsed, right? I mean, so I don't think it was just based off of the last season. It was looking at it was looking at the roster coming back and you know, expecting improvement from some of the guys that had played a little bit the year before, and it just wasn't there. And then the injuries happened, so those guys were playing anyway, and that's why it kind of fell apart there. But no, I think it was mostly based on what we brought back, because we were actually, again, 2020 hindsight's easy to look back and say, man, we lost Isaiah Wong and Jordan Miller. Why do we ever think the team was going to be good?
We returned three starters, got a starter who was the best player on their team, and our sixth man. Like, it, and you know, at that time, it seemed like, okay, yeah, we're returning all these players, good stuff, but.
Right, but again, we losing like the sixth man off the team or whatever. I guess that was technically Bensley, but you know, we lost Anthony Walker. You would expect AJ Casey to be able to like expand that role. He was way worse, right? And so you know, those are the miscalculations we made that became exacerbated when everyone started getting injured. And it wasn't just, can he take like the 8 minutes, 10 minutes Anthony Walker was doing and do better in those minutes? It was like, nope, can we play 25? And it's just, and it kind of went off the rails pretty quickly, right? But we certainly did lie to ourselves a little bit. When we kind of looked at the roster, you know, we expected Chris Watson to take a pretty big step forward. That didn't happen. So we miscalculated, just to be blunt about it, right? We had some guys that we expected to be better than they were. And then with the injuries, it got even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I know injuries were a thing, but I mean, Wuga too. I mean, I saw it in the comments. It was disappointing as well. I thought we were going to see more of a diverse, you know, offensive game. I think some of that was, you know, injury contributed to that, but you know, when your coach makes comparisons to one of the greatest players that played here, and you know, yeah.
Well, I mean, I was skeptical kind of that. I was like, that's a lot of pressure, but I still think Wuga has a really high ceiling.
I think I think he can be an elite shooter. If you try to do what we did, which is run offense through him, it's not going to work out well for you.
Yeah. Well, we're reloading for next year, so
there's still hopefully some things we need to reload. But yeah, no, this is
there's still some pieces missing, but you're starting to see it come together a little bit. Coaches,
and again, and I think, you know, we talk about Coach O learning from mistakes. He obviously changed the approach completely this offseason. And then I also think he had a plan here. I need a center. I need a power forward so that Matthew Cleveland can play small forward. And he went and got those. And that allows Matt, if he goes to Matthew Cleveland and tells him, hey, we're going to put you a power forward again, I think he's probably in the portal.
Yep.
So I think, you know, we executed a plan, probably on the likelihood of guys coming back.
I think,
and we actually talked about this because obviously it's been a while now since Nigel said he was coming back. But, you know, we were talking about this before that.
Yeah.
Kind of knew he was coming back because they weren't targeting a replacement for him. Yeah.
Also, I think there may be very small parts of the game where you may see Cleveland at the four. It depends on what other depth pieces we get. But, like, obviously, Kidd and Johnson aren't going to be in the game the entire time. So there might be a few minutes here and there where you see him at the four, but for the most part, unless we get more pieces, I don't know what happened, but like with what we have right now, I could see Cleveland being at the four for small portions of the game if we go to a smaller lineup.
Well, I do expect us to get another big for
depth. I'm hoping. Right? Yeah, that's the hope. But I'm just like, as of right now, it might, if he decides, because there was one point last season where we played all guards and Cleveland was the five. So, I mean, that was kind of out of necessity because we had nobody. But I think coach wanted to do right by Cleveland to keep him here. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think the good thing too, that the staff has done is they found guys that fit around the guys that we have already on roster, right? Mm-hmm. You know, guys that will know their role, you know, more mature guys that have played basketball for 4 or 5 years. Because I think Brandon Johnson played 1 or 2 years of community college basketball too.
Well, Lynn Johnson and Kidd are in their final year of eligibility, so.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. You know, they kind of know, we know what kind of player they are, and, you know, they know obviously what role they're, you know, fitting in when they come here. So, and I think that's going to, you know, help, because I think that's one thing from last season. Yeah. There, it didn't feel like, we talked about it numerous times, there wasn't like established roles. And part of that was injuries, you know, but like your expectations of you as a player were changing constantly. And I think that's another reason, you know, why we struggled so much offensively.
I think part of that was also just when given a role, players weren't able to do it. We talked about this during the season, but there was that press conference, I think either late December, early January, where Coach L was like, I've got my rotation solidified, you know, and
yeah.
AJ Casey was part of that rotation.
Well, yeah, at that point, Bensley was still starting. So he's like, we're going to go to AJ Casey and Keyshawn George off the bench. And, you know, if there's an emergency or whatever, someone's injured, can't play, or foul trouble, Chris Watson is the eighth guy. And by the end of the year, you could not, like, and justifiably would not put AJ Casey or Chris Watson in a game.
I mean,
which was the right decision by the end of the year. So
he went to Ja'Kai. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, that was the right decision by the end of the year. So I think that was one where he like thought he saw guys progressing. He's like, this is your defined role. He's trying to define those roles. And like, they weren't capable of playing. I mean, that game that Cleveland got hurt in at Notre Dame, that was a game where Chris Watson like missed two dunks and a layup. It's just like, dude.
Is that when he got blocked back to back?
Yes. And then he also like had an uncontested one he missed. And then that was the one where we won the game. And then, you know, they showed him walking off the court, shaking his head. And I'm like, this guy's not playing here anymore. And he basically didn't. He got in at the end of the Georgia Tech game when we went really small and bench Norch had. And that was about it. That was the only extended minutes he got after that. I think he knew he was done and we knew he was done at that point.
Didn't he commit somewhere?
He did to Southern Miss, right? That was
Watson. Southern Miss. Yeah.
I was drawing a blank.
Yeah, and
yo, I think the three of us.
Yeah, we're on the small train here.
Small. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's not even Javon Small is
really good.
Better player.
Yeah.
More of a proven commodity.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be excited if we got either one, but Javon Small like changes expectations a lot. You know. He's a really good basketball player, and you're right. He fits really well next to Nigel. Mm-hmm. So, and I think you could even see a lineup, you know, of Nigel, Small and Jahlil Bethea, which would be super deadly. Not saying that's like who would start, just saying like, you know,
it gives us options in terms of rotations that we did not have this year.
And Gio, I heard he's still in Miami training. So he might announce from Miami that he's going to Miami.
Well, maybe he's just not going to leave Miami.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, and the idea that...
Could you imagine if Jahlil Bethea was our sixth man? Like, because Javon Small comes. Talk about like... a nice, you know, backcourt depth.
I think we'll be playing a lot of three guards if that is,
yeah,
if that is the case. These are first world problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you think about it with Jahlil, and if he does what we all expect him to do, we have what, five, at least five guys in their last year of eligibility that leave after next season. Well, like,
yeah, I mean, the way
everybody else are like seniors.
I mean, the way basketball is now, like, that,
yeah,
dude, you're liable to have that happen any year.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too, like, the additions of,
oh, Max. Please put that up. You have to put that up. Put it on the screen. give the folks a chance to read it.
I mean, this is like inside baseball a little bit, but
Max gave a shout out to Buckets as well as Luke Cheney from 247 for being like the best to cover Miami basketball hoops. And somebody got insulted.
And that somebody was Michelle Kaufman.
And then she posted an article and it was behind a paywall.
Which, again, it's a professional organization. They need to make money. I don't have an issue with that. It was just, you know, to be honest, she's too.
You did compliment us, though. Not that she.
No, but I mean, she's just like, I'm like, dude, you work for the Miami freaking Air. Like, why are you responding to people? Like,
I will say that tweet got me into a conversation with Luke. So we're hoping to have him on the show soon.
And so, then we can have Gio on too.
And then we can have Gio on also. But that
separate episodes though.
That got us chatting. So if you're a Luke Cheney 247 fan, definitely keep tuning into Buckets because we're in talks about getting it. He's already agreed to be on the show. We just have to set up,
figure out a date.
You know.
Yeah.
So
gotta figure that out with Gio too.
Yes. I'm gonna have to. I need to expand the board somehow because.
Well, we already know where Gio's going.
Gio is a Popeyes guy, so there's plenty of room for him.
Or he's setting this up just to like. Can you imagine he's setting
like
this up?
Blue and shows up here, and like churches.
Gio had like a round table of YouTube, like Kane's YouTube people, like a couple of months ago, and so he at the end he had all of us like ask him a question, and so I was like, well, on Buckets we talk about this all the time, so what do you prefer? And he picked Popeyes, so. You know,
he's a man who likes seasoned chicken with flavors.
It's been a while since anyone's picked Popeyes, if you hadn't noticed. So, but yeah, the next Chick-fil-A person, that's going to be like the last space. And then I'm going to have to, I don't know if I should just like put a piece of paper and hang it down and keep it going or what. We'll have to figure
that would actually be funny if you did that.
I may just get a separate board for it. That way I can expand my other stuff on here and then just have another board to put up. Take this down and I'll just put the board there or something.
No, you will.
You're not a loner. Matt Vish and Coach DJ Irving agree with you. You can't.
Yes, and when you come on the show, it'll be 3-on-1. So
there we go.
That's why Matt and I always have the brotherhood of Popeye, so we're never outnumbered, actually. The best we do is even when the show's running. Got kind of a similar question. Where do you guys see Bethea falling into this hypothetical Spalls decision and then Sox coverage kind of asking, you know, well, kind of giving his opinion on this, which is start on the bench and work his way kind of in.
Coach yeah. L is not known for starting true freshmen. I'll just put that
I think no matter if Javon Small comes here, he's starting like 100%. It doesn't matter. Like day one. I mean, yeah. If it's Jalen Blackman that comes here, then I think it's, you know.
It's a battle.
Yeah, it's a toss-up, in my opinion.
You got some Popeyes love in the chat here.
Also, we didn't think of a Mount Rushmore, so if you guys have anything that you want us in the chat that you want us to do a Mount Rushmore of, put in some suggestions. Because this was kind of like a Cleveland announced he was back, and then.
That's not the only thing.
Absolutely.
And then. Well, wait, did I suggest it? Did I suggest it after the women's commit or before? I don't remember.
No, before, but then it piled on it.
So Matthew Cleveland said he was coming back and we were all so excited. So I like, seriously, we were actually all so excited. I think that came off like it was sarcastic. I wasn't. We're all really happy he's coming back. So I was like, we need to do a Buckets at midnight. Like, this is important. And then the women's had a commit. So now there's plenty of things to talk about. But yeah.
I do think, Javon Small. there's a lot of similarities to like Isaiah Wong's game of like being a three level scorer. And you saw how much Pac and Wong, you know, fed off of each other. I think it'll be a similar relationship. And yeah, it's going to be fun to watch if it happens.
And remember, Pac was the MVP of the region in our final four run yeah. with Wong as his number, as Wong as the two. So you put a guy next to Pac who has some similarities as far as like creating his own offense and things like that, then Pac gets back to being Pac. And also like we were so bad last year in general, a healthy Nigel is going to be great, but like, let's just forget that this season happened.
Well, no, but I think, look, if you don't, and obviously as fans, it doesn't really matter if we care or not, although we sort of cover the team, but whatever. But for coaches, they need to understand what happened.
As fans, let's forget what happened.
Well, what then? What are we gonna do for the next 6 months? So
a lot of them.
What I would say though is, you know, and we talked about this when he committed. Lynn Kidd was not a big minutes guy at Virginia Tech. He was splitting. He was in a rotation with Petit, who's bulkier, and so you know they would rotate him in and out. So I do think, looking at our lack of big man depth, the fact that you know, Matthew Clayton can obviously play the four at times, I would not be at all surprised if we, you know, see a lot of three guard lineup if Small is here and, you know, Pack, Pythia and Smaller on the court together, and we're playing Smaller, just because again, yeah. Lincoln averaged 20 something minutes a game last year, and it'll be a pretty big step up to expect him to go like 35, which means we're gonna need to get creative with the lineups to give him rest and.
But then you go with the hope that L's still looking for another four or five guy in the portal. I think we've all said we hope that we get another bigger man in the
portal. But that's almost just for
depth.
Unless you want to see Joe Bay play 30 minutes a game, which no one wants.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We've said it before. We're hoping for another four or five, and then we're hoping for another guard.
Yeah, I still think no matter what, like we mentioned it earlier, like Matthew Cleveland is going to play the four in moments.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see it. And, you know, I think it's going to look different with like Brandon Johnson at the five. You know, he's more of a guy that plays on the perimeter. He can post up too, but I think that's going to benefit Matthew Cleveland also. But yeah, and just playing with, you know, guards that can kind of create offense for themselves and, you know, create for others as well is going to help his game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And while we definitely need another big for depth, I do, you know, if you're Coach L and this roster's been assembled and you're, you know, figuring out which players you want on the court, if, again, this is, you know, speculating that, that Javon Small is here, you're much more likely to say, let me play Cleveland at the four and to have those three guys out there, then go to the unnamed big we're able to get at this stage to come in and play them significant minutes. So that's why I think we're going to see a lot of, regardless of who technically starts, a lot of those three on the court together.
Gio, we gotta get him to stop wearing the Hardens. That's the problem. Get him wearing the AEs or something else.
I think not enough people are talking about Austin Swartz, obviously, because we have such a big time commit in Jahlil. I could see Swartz being part of the rotation. We'll see how quickly he can adapt to the college game. I definitely think he could be part of the rotation off the bench.
Yeah, I definitely think he's going to be in the rotation, but like, I know that there's people that are saying like, we don't really need to get another guard. We have Austin Swartz like coming off the bench. Like, no, we still need to get another guard.
No, we do. Yeah.
We can't rely that heavily on two true freshmen.
Yeah.
No, and well, I mean, you can if they were both Jahlil Bethea, but they're not. And so, I mean, look, when you get a player of that level, not only do you rely on it, you need it and you expect it. But Austin Swartz is, even though he's very talented and is a highly coveted recruit, there's
a top 40 player.
Yeah, but this is.
I think he fell just out. I think he fell just outside the top 40 in like the end of
I think he was 41.
41, something like that.
Right. I think he was. 40
sounds better. So we'll just.
Yeah, but this is you know we've all I keep saying we've talked about this because we've talked about a lot of this stuff, but you know basketball is a sport where top 10 versus like top 20 versus top 30 is a huge difference because the drop off is massive. Like you're talking about program changing. One and done types, and then dropping into this guy needs to develop, and so on. And that's not a knock on Austin Schwartz. Like Isaiah Wong developed into one of the best players in school history. He was not ready day one. Lonnie Walker was, right? But you would say Isaiah Wong's a better college player and a better Hurricane because he stayed that long. But so, and that's where you get those when you get those top 10, top five recruits. Those guys are. I mean, they're ready to be in the NBA already.
Like, yeah, there was, I would
if
not
there was
be
no
shocked.
One and done rule. They would, a lot of them would go in the draft and get drafted in the lottery, especially this.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised too. Like when he gets his opportunity, if he gets extended minutes at any point, if he does have a game where he goes off or whatever, because he has that potential, he has that talent, you know, as a freshman. But I think building that consistent role, like that's you know, something you know for next year. I think he'll be a part of the rotation, but. Definitely.
He could Austin could be that Austin could be that guy, not to compare him to Isaiah Wong, but I could see him being that guy that develops over the years and like by his fourth year is a guy that we depend on heavily. Kind of like how
Isaiah I think
we see it next year. Yeah. Or the year after. Like I think his development's gonna be
faster?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think this year we have like a lot of dudes. Next year, I could definitely see him.
I mean, we just talked about losing like all five of the starters, so.
Like Bruce Brown. Give him that second year.
Yeah, and then he got injured. And... Anyway.
What could have been with that team?
Oh, God. I know. Stupid sister gene. the other thing is, like, no one has a four-year plan anymore. It's all just a series of one-year plans. He might not be here next year. Right, I mean, it's the reality of it.
Yeah, you just never know.
I gotta not get it. I can't get attached to players anymore because they just leave.
Pretty much.
Cue the Sox outro. Don't cry. Keep it chill. Wear good socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.